Gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also, for my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am scorned of all my adversaries. a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the streets flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
The second lesson this morning is from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Your answer, please.
Insurrection and murder, and handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children, for the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they cast lots to divide his clothing. The people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him and saying, 'Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and save us.' But the others rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he replied, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.' It was now about noon. The darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, crying out in a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, 'Certainly this man was innocent.' And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite any children who are here to come and join me for the children's message. Come on up. I'm going to have you guys sit right here for me, okay? Oh, look, it's a line that Mr. Wolfgang gave you. What a nice guy. I need you guys to come sit over here. Come sit over here, Ben. You'll know why in just a minute here. Sit over here. We got one more. Well, I'm sitting over here. He's going to go wherever mom takes him, so good on you. Are you coming, Ellie? Come on up. Oh, do you want to sit over here, please? What do you see all around the church?
Palm branches from my backyard, from my nana's backyard.
That's exactly right, palm branches from your nana's backyard. That's right, your grandma and grandpa gave us these palm branches to decorate the church. Why do we have them up here today? Ben, why don't you tell me what?
Palm Sunday.
And what do we celebrate on Palm Sunday?
God.
What?
Jesus.
Palm branches? Jesus? What did Jesus do on Palm Sunday?
Died.
Not quite. What did he do? What did he do? He came riding into Jerusalem on a
donkey.
On a donkey. Yes. Well, you know this story really well. You're really good at helping me tell this story. Because you know about this story, right?
Yeah.
You know about Jesus, right?
Yeah.
You can tell other people about Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you know, but this whole year, Vicar Maria has been getting people's stories about how they can tell other people about God, about Jesus. And we have a very special story we're going to share today. So I need you all to be able to come and sit so you can see the screen over here. That's why want you all to sit over here, because we're going to hear a very special story today about somebody who's telling about how they can tell other people about God, how they can share the story about Jesus. And guess what? Liam, guess what?
This time it's not a grown-up. It's a kid just like you.
Should we watch this story?
Yeah.
Okay, let's watch this story.
Since you were a baby, were you baptized here? Do you remember who baptized you?
No.
That's okay, you don't have to remember.
I have friends here. I can play with them. I learn about God with them. And yeah, I learn about God. I pray, I go to church, and I go to Seekers. My favorite part about Seekers is that we get to glue a Bible verse into our little notebooks, and we get to color what the prayer is. Like, you get to draw a thing that's in the prayer. I play the tambourine with the church band, and I sing along.
Why is it important to you?
Because it's songs about God, and it's kind of like praying to God with songs. Like what they see me do in church, they could learn how to do it, and they'll do it in church. God is my father. I describe God as everybody's father, and everybody's Savior. That it's a church, it's where you get to pray to God, and where you get to learn about God and Jesus. They could, like, if they don't get something about Jesus or God, we could tell them kind of what it means. Because it's a great thing to go to every Sunday, it's good to pray to God. They kind of feel like family. It's been good going to this church as well. But all the stuff I do in school, I do in church. I tell them it's not that hard. You could just go to church. You could tell other people about God and Jesus.
She didn't say, "Oh, I'm just a little kid, I can't do anything." She said, "I can tell people about God. I can tell people about Jesus. And if they don't know something, I can bring them to church." That's kind of a cool way of looking at it, not saying I'm just a kid, but saying I am a very special kid. I am one of God's kids. And you are too. And you are too. And you are too. And Ben, you are too. Levi, you are too. And guess what? Your mommy is too. We're all God's kids.
A
mommy's a grown-up. Well, then mommy is one of God's grown-ups. How about that? All right, well, thank you for coming up, and thank you for watching my video with me today. You can head back to your seats. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that on this day that we celebrate your triumph and entry into Jerusalem, we would remember that you did so knowing where it would lead, but you did so anyway, hearing the cries of Hosanna, of save, I pray, from your people. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It was about a month ago, maybe a little more than a month ago, that I was having a conversation with someone, and he told me this story that I've been thinking about this whole Lenten season. So I was talking with this one gentleman, and he was sharing a story about how he lived in a town, not here, but like a town out in the Midwest, and he would spend a lot of time working on his yard. I mean, you probably all do as well, too, but he spent a lot of time working on his yard, and he would constantly be pulling weeds and pulling weeds and pulling weeds. He said every time I pulled one, it was like four more popped up. And he was treating his yard and mowing his yard and spending all this time on his lawn. And he would drive by one of his neighbors about a block down every day on the way to work. And he passed by his neighbor's house. He always looked, he says, man, his lawn is gorgeous. That's an amazing looking lawn there. And would kind of wave to his neighbor. And finally, after several months of pulling weeds and getting nowhere, he pulled over one day on the way to work and he stopped and he said, I just gotta ask you, asked his neighbor, how do you get such a beautiful lawn? I'm pulling weeds all the time and it still feels like it's covered. And he says, I'll tell you what, here's what you gotta do. You gotta feed the grass. Feed the grass, just feed the grass. Keep on feeding the grass. And the man I was talking to, he said, man, if that isn't a metaphor for life, I don't know what is. I was spending all of my time focusing on pulling the weeds and I wasn't feeding the grass. I was trying to rid my lawn of everything negative and terrible and I wasn't feeding what I wanted. And I think we can kind of apply that same thing to our lives, can't we? My husband and I moved into a beautiful home a few years ago where the previous owner was a fantastic gardener. In fact, you saw some of the pictures that she has. Surprise, pink flowers. But we have these gorgeous plants all over our yard. Clayton's the one who tends to them. I don't. I admire them from a distance. But we have all of these beautiful flowers, and we have maybe two dozen rose bushes. I don't, just more roses than I can keep track of. And we even have about four or five of these huge, bright bougainvillea plants. They're gorgeous. But guess what gets all of my attention? Stinking little weed right there. And all of those little weeds, they get all of my attention because I'm not focused on feeding the grass, I'm focused on pulling the weeds. Today is a day that we celebrate these beautiful palms, also from my yard. I'm still looking at that weed. Today is the day when we celebrate Palm Sunday. And I think about that when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and I keep sermons from past years, and I realized that many, many times on this Sunday, I would focus on where that journey was leading. I read some of my past sermons, and so many of them were looking at where the parade was going. That it went from shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us, I pray, save me, I pray, to in a course of a week, yelling, crucify him, crucify him. So often I'm looking at this story and saying, how awful are we as humans that we move so quickly from Hosanna to crucify? But I realize that Jesus, in this story, Jesus the Christ knows where this is going. He knows as he's riding on those palm branches and on those carts on that donkey into Jerusalem, he knows where his story is going already. But Jesus wasn't focused on the weeds. Jesus wasn't focused on those people who would turn against him, on those people who would deride him, on those people who would eventually turn him over to be crucified.
Jesus was focused on those people who needed him to save them. He was focused on feeding those people, even though he knew some would betray him. And it got me thinking, what if we spent more time feeding the grass instead of pulling the weeds? I am guilty of this. I'm 100% guilty of this. I can have 100 people tell me how wonderful things are, but I will hear that one squeaky wheel. Late into the night, I will hear that one complainer over 100 voices. But what if we spent more time feeding the grass instead of pulling the weeds? What would that look like? I was in a ministerium group this past Wednesday. It's a group where different clergy from around the area gathered together. And we're talking about how sometimes churches lament about what used to happen, about how life used to be. Remember back in the 70s when we were having that second baby boom when everyone moved out here from the aerospace communities or aerospace companies and our churches had 600 people every Sunday? Remember that? Yeah. Because churches all over are having that same lament, pulling those weeds of resentment, of longing. And I remember in this group on Wednesday, I said, yeah, I look at us and our Sunday school, our children's ministry. For the little kids, we have 3 Sunday school teachers. I said, I remember a time when we had 33 children's ministers. And one of the other pastors says, you have 3 teachers? We don't even have 3 children. And that comment from her made me pause and realize we might have 3 Sunday school teachers right now, but one of them is a young man in his 20s who the children get to go to and see somebody who's young and is male influence in their teaching life. He's a construction worker by trade, but his passion is in working with the small children of our congregation. To be able to feed his ministry is feeding the grass instead of pulling the weeds. Because that's what God saves us from, the sinfulness in our world and the sinfulness in ourselves that tells us to look at the evil in our world, to look at our own shortcomings, to see the weeds everywhere, and rely on anything other than God's mercy. People go around all the time making things that have no business being our God the foundations of their lives. Maybe it's our own sense of self-righteousness, of power, of money, of momentary thrills, of deep-rooted childhood fears, of angers at institutions, angers at our families or our own egos. But what if we let go of trying to pluck all the weeds out of our lives and instead feed the grass of God's goodness? What would that look like? Going to look different for all of us. Maybe it would mean less complaining about how we wanted things to be and instead nurturing how things have turned out. Maybe it's taking as much time as we do lamenting about what we can't change and instead spending time giving thanks for what we have to be grateful for. And I wonder, how do we feed the grass as a community, as this place called the church? What if instead of looking at other churches, not with contempt or jealousy over what they have and we don't, or why our theology is better or our people are better, but what if we looked at other people of faith with holy envy? An outlook that says, well done, good and faithful servant. I am in awe of what you do to share our gospel. Maybe we feed the grass by doing something very simple yet very scary. Inviting someone to church. Ariana said it. She's 8. I think it starts by just showing up. just showing up to be in community, to hear the rest of our story that starts today by coming back on Thursday night and Friday night at 7 to follow the Passion story, or Thursday at 10:15 over in the fireside room for our scripture, our sermon, and our supper. So I invite you, in a world where it's so easy to see all the weeds that need to be pulled, come and feed the grass, tend and nurture the good life, the good seed, the good soil that God has put in your life. Feed the grass 1 week from today as we continue along this parade route, this journey, and we see how Jesus answers our prayers and our pleas of Hosanna, save I pray. Because I'll give you a hint as to what's coming on Easter. He doesn't look out and see our faults, or our failures, or our doubts, or our weeds. He just sees his children, even his adult children, waiting to be fed. And he feeds them.